Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Cool. So I'm promising you today, scientifically and biblically, if you do what I say, your life can be altered. Can't get any better than that, amen? And I'm thankful it's not just because of the words I'm speaking, it's the truth behind it, right? Whoo! You know, when you go to the doctors and you have an ailment, have you ever been there and they say, man, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. It's just going to have to take time to heal. You ever been there? But if they say, man, you take one of these and you're going to wake up tomorrow feeling better. I don't know if there's too many one of these pills, but isn't it true that that's like, oh, thank goodness that you gave me something that I can get better? Well, today's one of those messages. All right. I do want to review because I want to tie last week into this week. And everybody go ahead and tell your neighbor everything I preached on last week. You're laughing. You're like, was I here last week? Can you remember what I taught on last week? Significance. Awesome. Anything else you want to tell me? Hey, we're starting good. We got a title. It's awesome. What else did I tell you about significance? What did we talk about? David. Okay, smaller things, not always in the big things. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else? It's good. Did you get that off the post that I did with the, you didn't say, okay, good. I thought maybe you just saw my Facebook post and you're like, oh, I'll just use that. Anything else you can remember? What is important? I heard a voice. Where'd that come from? Jesus? Genie. Oh, close. Yeah, what is important? Absolutely. Talked about if your house was burning down, what would you run in and grab? I kind of described it like if you could put your whole life into boxes and, you know, your everything you label would be a box just to represent, you know, would you grab your kids, your wife? Would you grab your trophies? Would you grab your Facebook posts? Would you grab your business success? What would you grab? What's important in that minute? And it's funny, our lives are often burning and we're grabbing the wrong things for significance. That's the beauty of Thanksgiving, right? That hopefully today it's not just about food. It's food and it's got to be about food. But hopefully we sit around and we actually take time, and I encourage you, take time to be thankful for what you have in front of you. Sometimes it can be difficult, but you can still find thankfulness, amen? What else do we talk about? I'm challenging your brains to think through. See, we forget so easy, and if we forget, it's really hard to put into action. Okay. Set. Be yourself. That was another point I made. Yes. You got to know who you are and be yourself. What was that? Another thing? What is success? What is significance? So let me sum it up because I know the time's ticking quickly here. That I shared about this growing burden over the fact that, you know, we are wanting to walk in the way of Jesus. That's our goal. In 2023, you're going to see that more and more. Like our goal as a staff, we talk about it too. How do we get back to walking more like Jesus? And I'm convinced a lot of times the way we walk in Christianity is not a lot like Jesus. We've actually taken on worldly standards, worldly understanding. And so, you know, in the area of significance, we've had this huge thing where it's always been around, but I just think social media has put it on steroids. But we've always looked at how do I feel significant? How do I feel important? You know, as a man, it's often, you know, like, you know, what could I build or what can I do? And we all have this urge to want to be successful, to do something that matters, that lasts. But in the kingdom, well, let me step back. In the realm that we live in today, because we have everything so quickly, we often want to measure what we do through that instant gratification, through that instant report. You know, for the young people, it's the likes. It's the, you know, how many people reshared, reposted, liked your thing, all that. How many people are commenting on the haircut that I got? It's true. So in essence, what has happened, though, I'm reading a book right now, and at one point I thought, I want to check what date it was written, and I realized this book was written pre-social media. Which is weird to think. I know, wow, was that prehistoric? Pre-social media. And he's reading, and I'm thinking, you know what? What he's saying is to a level, but you amplify that now on social media. Because what we see is a snapshot of everybody's perfect moment every day, right? You take the picture of your hair, and it's perfect, and then you walk out into the wind. And nobody stops to go, oh, that looks great. I got a picture of Krista from our vacation, and you know, you snap it, and then you look later, and it was a beautiful sunset. And it was only the only one we did of that sunset together, and we look, and her hair, the wind caught it, and it's like, poof. You're like, well, that's not going to work. You know, that's not the one you choose to post, right? So we put our lives in this perfect little thing, and then we look, and we begin to go, oh, look how great their lives are, and I have to try to up my life to be significant, only when that's one little moment that probably doesn't even capture what's really going on. So then we begin to think that significance is making sure that everybody thinks that our lives are together. It gets really dangerous. Talked about, you know, I'm going to actually share the scripture. You know what? Turn with me there. Matthew 7. The scripture that I use, Matthew 7, 21. Which is, you know, caused me a lot of grief when I was growing up. Matthew 7, 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Or don't follow God's laws, another one that says it. That God's law is referring to love. We went to 1 Corinthians. Interesting enough, by the way, every once in a while when you read the Bible and you're trying to get context for a scripture, what I want you to do is take out numbers, the little numbers, the verse numbers, and I want you to take out the titles in your book. Because every once in a while, you know, I really believe that we need to step back. Because if you go before that, by the way, verse 15 says, beware of false prophets. I believe it's actually a continuing sentence he's talking about. But what's my point with that? Is a lot of times in Christianity, we could be on one side of the spectrum or the other. We talked about this. We could be so afraid to miss God's will that we don't do anything. And that's totally wrong because I'm going to actually show you. I can show you today one God. Should I change microphones, James? You don't know. All right. So we're on this extreme where you're afraid to do anything because you don't want to miss the will of God. And the other side is, you just do whatever you want and you don't ever pray and ask the Lord what his will is. And I shared Banny Leibscher's story, which was so powerful. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but if you have a chance, please go listen to that message. But the point of his story, Banny Leibscher from Jesus Culture, had an incredible day at church. Everything went well. But at the end of the day, before the service, before he went home, he ended up spending time with one woman. In the foyer, him and his wife ministered to this one woman who had social anxiety. And on the way home, he was asking the Lord, what part of the day was he so blessed with? Wondering if it was going to be the worship or the word that he preached, you know, the salvations that happened. And he said, I was so thankful that you spent time with my child, my daughter, that you included her and stopped. And it made him realize, this is when he began to go, Am I counting significance all wrong? Because the world's way of significance was that he had world-class worship leaders on his altar or stage, that they had a packed house, his sermon went well, people laughed, people came and gave their lives to the Lord. So in his mind, that was success and significance, but the Lord was talking about something completely different. The Lord was talking about that one person he stopped for. So we have to get out of the mindset that the will of the Father is always something big. The will of the Father usually is somebody that's walking by you. The will of the Father is usually somebody that you write that thank you letter to because God drops it on your heart. How many have ever had that happen? Texting is beautiful for that, right? You're doing something, all of a sudden you get a name and you're like, geez, I haven't thought of that person. And then you take the time, raise your hand if you've ever done it, you take the time and you go, I'm just gonna write them, I'm gonna text them. It could be, hey, how you doing today? Like the Lord dropped you on my heart. It could be, gosh, I felt this overwhelming love, you know, just thinking about you today. How many have ever received that? How many have had that brighten your day? That's the will of the Father. I think he's up there going, will they take the time in the small things? But Lord, I'm so busy doing great things. And that's why this scripture comes up. Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and have big conferences in your name? I wrote 14 books in your name. He's like, well, I never asked you to write any of those books. Or it could be, I asked you to write the first one. You got so excited and wrote 13 more. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying we need to go, Lord, what do you want us to do? Amen. So how does this all fit in? I'm going to tell you. I want to talk about that thing today that can change your life. It's Thanksgiving. What am I going to talk about? Gratitude. Who said Christmas? Daniel? And on Christmas, I'm going to come to your house and talk about Thanksgiving. I want to talk about gratefulness. And I want to tie it in because here's the thing. Gratefulness is scientifically proven to change your brain. I had to look it up because somebody told me that and I'm like, I don't believe you until I want to do the research. So I looked up a whole bunch of papers last night. Gratefulness in your brain, neuroscience has proven that gratefulness goes into your brain and literally begins to change it. You have more gray matter. I'm not sure why. Let me tell you exactly where it is, because somebody might understand this. People who express and feel gratitude have a higher volume of gray matter in the right inferior temporal gyrus. Anybody ever heard of that? So that sounded really smart then, didn't it? And there's something really important about that, but I didn't read that far. No, actually, they have seen gratefulness literally changes the gray matter in your brain, changes the chemistry of your brain, changes the serotonin and dopamine levels in your brain, just from being grateful. And it was not one study. They are so fascinated by this that they are doing multiple studies right now. I'm going to share with you in a second all the things that being grateful does to your body. But listen, let's back up and go to last week's sermon. We're living in a culture right now where we're trying to feel significant. And most people do not feel significant. It's like the more we post, the more we feel insignificant. Because the more we're on social media, the more we're, you know, trying to do something that makes everybody proud of us, the more we want to just be the best. It's funny. It's like a never-ending loop. The more you try, the less you feel. So you try again to try to find more. It's a drug, but it's a negative drug. It's like the husband that is gone all day and all night working to try to make enough money and finally sits down because the marriage is falling apart and the wife and the children say, we don't want more money. We just want you to be around. But I gotta support, I gotta do bigger. No, we just want you to be around. It's like the more we try, the less we get. And so, now I wanna tie this in. If you live in a life where you never feel significant, how could you ever feel grateful? And this is what is happening. In 2021, 2022 is not over yet, so they don't have the stats. In 2021, they have found that anxiety, depression, and stress has risen by 25%. 25%. And so we're living in a culture where we're getting more depressed, more anxious, feeling less significant, and yet people are doing bigger, more, greater things than ever before. So this is just this big, big cycle that Jesus is like, stop. Stop. For me, this started when we began to teach on rest. When I began to teach on rest, God began to unravel things in my life. And I'm thankful for it. Amen. Listen to this definition of gratitude, because right now you're going to have something to be grateful for. This is the best. This is a neuroscience definition of gratitude. Gratitude is associated with a personal benefit that was not intentionally sought after, deserved, or earned, but rather because of the good intentions of another person. Isn't that the definition of Jesus and the cross? I'll read it again. Maybe you're not connecting here. Gratitude is associated with a personal benefit. How many have a personal benefit from the cross of Jesus Christ? The blood of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. How many have gotten rid of religion and you know that no matter how good you are, you'll never get in? Okay, just keep raising your hand with me. And how many have come to realize it is the blood of Jesus and the cross alone that gives salvation? So gratitude is associated with a personal benefit. That is a personal benefit that was not intentionally sought after. Did any of you ask for Jesus to go on the cross? No. It was not sought after. It was not deserved. Did any of you deserve for Jesus to die for you? Nope. Or earned? Nope. But rather because of the good intentions of another person. We as Christians have the ability to wake up every day to be grateful. Okay, I'm going to try that again. We have the ability to wake up every day to be grateful based on a neurological, psychological definition of gratitude. Because every day you can wake up and go, man, I am saved. I know we don't do this, but we should maybe do this. I'm saved. There is a man by the name of Jesus Christ who paid a price for you that you did not deserve, didn't necessarily go looking after it, but he paid that price. And because of that price, you have access into the kingdom of God here and when you die. So every day you should be like, thank you, Lord. And did you know, like, that thank you, Lord, when you thank the Lord for something, that begins to change your neurochemistry in your brain. Isn't it amazing? The Bible says, okay, let's look at some scripture. I'm just, you know, let's do Bible and science all at the same time. Turn to Philippians. This is Paul. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. This part in Philippians, he says, this is probably down towards the end, probably verse 12 and 13, Philippians 4. This is Paul, and he says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. So Paul's saying basically, hey, I've been in the palace and I've been in the pit and I've learned to be content in both. And then he said, I have learned the secret of living in every situation. You want to learn the secret of every situation? You think a lot of times it's to follow, but it was the previous scriptures that he gave you the secret. Here's the secret. He said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. This was starting at verse 6, sorry. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think upon these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And then he goes on to tell you why he can now live and be okay. He says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation. What's the secret? Think upon those things that are right and pure and healthy and lovely. Pray. Don't stop giving thanks. That's the secret. That's the secret. Back to science. If you do this one thing, which is called gratitude and gratefulness, which we're going into for Thanksgiving, so it should be easy. But I want to tell you something. There are two things you can do in life that will change your life in the physical and inner world, okay? Obviously, this is back and forth with Jesus in your life, but even if you did not know Jesus and you followed these, it would change your life. There are two things. Exercise, okay? Exercise, they've proven. My doctor gave me this thing one time. Exercise is by far the best drug you can ever do. I don't know if you knew that. Now tie this to this, okay? Listen. Gratefulness. I'm going to read the benefits. Proven benefits. It lowers your blood pressure. What they did was, people that were stressed out and having a hard time, they put them in chairs to measure everything. They said, listen, I know you're stressed right now, but I want you to begin to think of things that you are grateful for, and that's all I want you to do. And as they thought about things that they were grateful for, their blood pressure literally began to lower. And they said, if you do this every day, your high blood pressure will no longer be an issue. Pretty cool. Higher optimism. How many want to be an optimist? Talked about this. I was thinking about you the other day. You know, glass half empty or half full. The body of Christ should be the greatest optimist in the world. Unfortunately, we're not. We're often the greatest pessimists in the world. We get people saved and then tell them the world is ending. I'm serious. Jesus is full of love. You should really come to know him. Oh, you accepted him? We're all going to die. Glad you joined the club. Oh, by the way, I was reading Paul today. He's like, and know, my brethren, Jesus is coming back soon. That's Paul 2,000 years ago. You're like, we're ready. Okay, higher optimism. People who regularly express gratitude report a higher level of satisfaction with their life. They experience many of the same trials as other people. Did you get that? They experience the same trials as other people, but appear to have more optimism and resilience against hardship. So it doesn't say if you have gratefulness, you'll never have problems. It says, no, you're going to have the same problems, but somehow when you are grateful, it rewires the chemistry of your brain to actually have more resilience. That's crazy. Increased energy. They say by taking a picture every day and looking at that picture at some point and being grateful for what you saw that day will increase your energy. They tend to be more attentive, higher energy. Gratitude also is associated with greater motivation to exercise. Better sleep. People that are grateful tend to have better sleep. I could go through all these. Generosity. People that have gratitude, okay, I'm going to read it. Gratitude is in many ways a social mechanism, and it has the power to bring people together. Research on teenagers found that young people who regularly expressed gratitude were less materialistic and more willing to share what they had, just from being grateful. So cool. I'll just go through a few more. They have greater achievements. They have stronger relationships. And here's one I wanted to focus on. They have improved mental health. One recent study explored the effects of gratitude on people seeking help for mental health issues. This included people with serious depression, anxiety, and other ailments. Those who practice regular gratitude, journaling, and meditation reported better mental health and fewer negative symptoms. With depression has a psychological and neurochemical base, both of which can be addressed by gratitude. Okay, this is not just people that are Christians writing. This is psychological. By displacing our attention from problems to solutions, gratitude practices hit the serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin, neurotransmitters that make us feel good. With the surge of these chemicals in the brain, the apathy gets curbed away, and we receive motivation that depression had sucked away. Okay, I could go on. There's a whole bunch more. Strong heart and healthy kidney function. Lasting health improvements. Gratitude is a natural antidepressant. Gratitude releases toxic emotions. Gratitude actually releases pain and reduces it. Gratitude aids in stress regulation. And there's more. Is it possible in our world today, the greatest thing that we have is that when we buy into trying to find out what significance means, it's robbed us of our gratefulness for what we have all around us? I'm convinced it has. Because I've been sucked into that world. Social media can suck you into it, where you look and you see what supposedly other people have. And then you begin to feel, man, I don't have that. I haven't done that. I'm not as good as that. Remember, I talked about preachers that now other people are comparing them to every great preacher in the world, and we could feel so insignificant and have the inability to preach well because people now compare us to the greatest. Everybody's comparing everybody. And so in that culture that we live in, it robs us of the ability to be grateful. And when it robs us of the ability to be grateful, we get more anxious, more depressed, unmotivated. It's this vicious cycle. And yet the Bible, what does it clearly say in Romans 12? Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what did I start with? They said that it actually, gratefulness transforms your mind. Science is backing up the Bible. You guys with me? That when you literally, this is what they say to do over and over and over again, you hope it would be easier, different. They say, listen, a gratitude journal. I have a friend of mine that every day when he wakes up, he's an ex-addict. And he says, Jay, the only way I get through the day is I have to wake up. And when I get up, I have to immediately be grateful for at least 3 things in my day already. He says, if I don't do that, I begin to think negative thoughts, which leads me back to addiction, addictive thoughts. But he says, man, when I start every day and he says, I get up and I'm thankful for my wife, I'm thankful for my kids, I'm thankful for the house that I live in. He says, everything begins to, it's like it resets where the enemy wants to try to come in and get us thinking this way. It resets our brains, like Paul said, to get us thinking this way. Think on those things that are pure. Think on those things that are right. Fix your eyes. And so if we're running around trying to find significance, our eyes are fixed on the world. Remember I read it last week? Your heart is where your treasure is. So if your heart is where your treasure is and your treasure is trying to become significant in ungodly ways, not eternal ways, you will always be in a vicious cycle and you will end up down. It's interesting, yesterday we were doing some product or swapping of appliances. Long story short, my mom got my stove, I got my brother's stove. Just weird. Had to do with colors. And it's funny though, so my mom got my used stove, I got my brother's used stove, and we're cleaning it. You know what? When you clean things, when it's new, don't you find all the little blemishes? But when you live in the house, you forget every blemish, right? I kid you not, baseboards that I have not put up since the day I bought my house. And it bugged me for the first week. And now you walk by it every day, I didn't even notice. Why do I say that? Because I sat down afterwards, and I felt like it was really the Lord speaking to me. I thought, man, when did our kitchens become so important that they have to look perfect? When, what were kitchens for? Cooking. You know, you go back, way, way back, and they had, like, fire. And I highly doubt they were going, I wonder which rocks look good. That rock would really match with my... I know, I'm just being silly. But you know what I mean? Like, it didn't really matter. You're like, pick a rock up, buddy. Just, I don't care if it looks good or not. If it matches, it's going to be black in 4 minutes anyway, so. But the reality, it wasn't about that. And then they had the big black pot belly stoves. It's just interesting that we walk around and I think, man, we are trying to always make sure everything feels perfect in our life. And I'm starting to wonder, what if we put more time into the things that really matter, right? There's been times we've had to learn, because we used to run a really tight ship, clean house, and we've had to learn to go, you know, sometimes, kids, this is not an excuse to not do your chores. But we've had to learn times to go, that's not important right now. The conversation we're having really is. Because we've blown it the other way, like, I can't talk right now, I got to get things done. I can't talk right now, I got to get things done. So I'm learning to ask the Lord right now, what is the significant things in my life? What are the things that I need to focus on that you are asking me to? I told you the will of the Lord. Can I tell you the will of the Lord? How many want to know? Right now, I can solve the problem for the scripture. Give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Sometimes we're like, what is the will of God? Sometimes it's simply give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That was 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. I just read that. So this is my conclusion as we get ready for Thanksgiving. You know, and I haven't figured out yet always how to make a message become something that we all go and do. That's why hopefully you hear it enough times, you go, well, maybe I shouldn't think about that. But what if at least today we began to go, you know what, when I get home, that frustration, I'm going to find what I'm thankful for in that frustration. Going back to the house analogy, I can't even remember where it was, but somebody looked at their house and it was all messy and somebody went, how can, you know, you got to clean up. And he said, oh, I got to clean up, but I'm so thankful that there are kids in my house. There are bodies that are alive in my house that made this mess. I'm like, wow, that's a really different way to think about it. That's not the first thought that I get. I don't think we all walk in and our house is destroyed. Oh my good, look how beautiful this is. But it was a reality to go, you know what? It could look spick and span. You could never have a toy out of place. And chances are those kids wouldn't live there. There would be no warm bodies running around. So there has to be a balance. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we just get, but what I'm saying is we look and go, thank goodness that we have children that are alive in this house. You know, it's loud. Oh my goodness. Oh yeah, but look at the squeal of joy that we just heard. Right? Today, when you're sitting next to that uncle that just drives you crazy, just go, I'm thankful that I have an uncle. Oh, we are so crammed in here. I'm thankful that we have a house to be in. Because there are people in other countries right now that have lost everything. Oh, it's not big enough. My house is not big enough. Oh, it actually feels so good that we're crammed in here because you can feel the people. I'm just saying we got to start thinking differently. Our society is training us to cause us to have stress and anxiety and depression. But the body of Christ is going to train. The Lord is training us to think differently. You know, we were joking around because you're talking about the glass being half full and then you had that happen to you. And I know you did well, you said. You said you really did well with how you talked. But even after you began to go, man, I'm thankful it didn't go right through my hand. You know, you begin to go all the things that could have happened. I was in a car accident this past December. I guess it was a year ago. And those moments, you don't just get out and go, praise the Lord, I was in a car accident. Hallelujah. Glory to God in heaven. No, I got out and I was, you know, my shoulder was messed up. But I'll tell you, quickly after that, you begin to go, I could be dead right now. My kids could be fatherless. My wife could be husbandless. Yeah, my car's a write-off and it's going to be a pain. But man, it could be way worse. Could be way worse. So just in conclusion, I want to challenge you. Remind you. I want to read that definition again. Gratitude is associated with a personal benefit that was not intentionally sought after, deserved, or earned, but rather because of the good intentions of another person. They simply say, saying thank you every day for the something that is done to you changes your brain chemistry just by saying thank you. So the receiver gets it, and the one that gives it gets it. Isn't God amazing that he would put these, literally these laws in place in our brains that would cause us to have joy? So when we have a culture that's getting raised to not say thank you, we're actually teaching, think of this, we're actually teaching our kids not to be mentally healthy when we teach them not to say thank you. Ouch. And I love when you can open a door for someone, and I really love when they say thank you back. Not when you get that look like, oh, you don't think I can do it myself? I'm like, sure you can, I'm just trying to be polite. But when somebody goes, oh, thank you so much, you're like, yeah, you're welcome. Not a problem. That just released chemicals in your brain that makes you feel good for doing something good. So I'm going to wrap it all up with this. You think about what the world is doing right now. The world has become so internally focused. People don't have enough time to do anything. You ask different ones. Julie and I have talked about it. You know, in her position, she needs volunteers. Nobody's volunteering these days. Why? Because we're all so focused on me. How do I become the best me? Interesting. That's the, right? How do I best be the best version of me? It's interesting. The best version of you is when you serve others. But most people are running around doing course after course after course, how to figure out how to be the best person instead of just doing. Opening doors for people. Oh, hey, I got that when somebody's carrying a box and you lift the box for them. And they say thank you. You're like, oh, I did something good today. Those little things that would do it. And so as a body, we have to remember outward focus, not inward focus. Doesn't mean that when you're in your prayer time, there's a time to go, Lord, would you just continually teach me? Show me, Lord. You know, I got to forgive myself a lot of times and have God forgive me. But man, when we're outside the world, be looking for people that you can bless. And today, be looking for people that you can bless. Why don't you stand? I have a challenge for you today. When you go to your Thanksgiving dinners, if you've already had one or if you have it tomorrow, I did this with my family, and it was really awkward at first, but then everybody got into it, so it'll be awkward for you too if they're not Christians. But before you eat, and instead of saying grace, this is grace, being thankful. Ask everybody really quickly, what are you grateful for today? Well, you can do it now, but do it when you go to eat. Seriously, before you go to eat, say, everybody really quickly, tell me one thing you're grateful for. It doesn't take long at all. If somebody doesn't know, say, I'll come back to you. That's all right, because probably somebody else will help them get it. And I was amazed when we did it, even with Krista's family. You're like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't know people were grateful for these things. And sometimes people would just be like, I'm just really grateful we can be here. Oh, that's awesome. Don't make it all spiritual and weird. Just say, what are you guys grateful for? I'm grateful we have a church family that we do. You guys are awesome. I'm really, really so thankful that we get to be together. I love corporate. I'm telling you, there's something about, I think when we come, I think one day they're going to find that being in groups changes your chemistry in your brain. And I really do believe that corporate worship and being together does change your chemistry for the better. So Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that you are the one that we are grateful for. But Lord, in our life, you've put so many things that we need to be grateful for. So Lord, I ask that as we go, that you would help us to turn our eyes to gratefulness. Help us to turn our eyes to see what we have and what we don't have. Lord, help us. We are so grateful for your son that didn't just get us into heaven, that we can have eternal life now. And I believe eternal life, a part of it is gratefulness. And so, Lord, we just are grateful for you and all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you heard that one thing I said. It was teenagers. When teenagers are generous, it makes their eyes more aware of what they have. So think of it. If we don't teach our kids to be generous, they will always be looking at what they don't have. When we build generosity into our kids, they actually naturally begin to go, look what we have around us. Wow, what a key. That is a biblical key. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.